from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hump day. Noon. Halfway there. Halfway to the weekend. And he had Monday off, probably.
Hell yeah.
So it's right there. It's right around the corner. We got NFL football tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night.
On television.
And, this is gonna
and
be,
on the radio.
And it's a great game.
And it's a great
both
game.
Both looking forward to.
It's rematch, a great game.
Rematch of.
Playoff rematch.
Playoff rematch. Yeah, the reigning MVP. I mean, the defending MVP versus that guy.
The other MVP.
Guy yeah. Who could win it every year.
You know, there's only been three MVPs in the NFL since 2018.
Lamar,
Patrick, and Aaron.
Really?
They've each won it twice.
Wow.
Yeah, they've each won it twice. No one else has won an MVP other than those three guys in the last 6 years.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Somebody else won it this year?
I do think somebody's just going to win this year.
I don't know, man. Patrick Mahomes, they got him some tools.
Yeah, they
Because remember last year, the Chiefs offense, for a good part of the year, was trying to figure it out.
They couldn't find anybody to catch the ball and everything. Oh, man. Who would I pick as MVP?
I've seen Josh Allen's name out there a lot.
That's one I would have thought. Maybe Josh Allen. C.J. Stroud being that conversation.
Could be.
Yeah.
Sure.
I mean, damn, it's hard to pick against 15, though.
Yeah, and it's also hard to pick a non-quarterback, Quarterbacks just win the award most years, going back 15, 20 years.
If there was a guy on this Falcons team, who would you pick?
Kirk Cousins, probably. Okay. Just because of the quarterback. I want to say Bijan.
Yeah.
I want to say Bijan because I think it would be incredible to watch that happen. I'm not saying that it couldn't. No.
But I mean, last one was Adrian, was AP, right?
Last running back?
Yeah, to win MVP was AP.
Derrick Henry, I think.
Did Derrick Henry
get one?
I think he won offensive.
If he didn't, he should have.
That year he ran for 2K.
Yeah, if he didn't, he should have. I don't know. Now I want to look it up.
I think Adrian Peterson was the last one to win the MVP. I think towards ACL.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, he came off there, had that 2,000 yards. I think Derrick was offensive MVP.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken.
It's a quarterback award. Quarterback award.
Yeah.
All right. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Thanks again to Dave Archer. Wednesday Conversations with Arch started today. Great stuff from him, as always. If you missed it, check it out as we're getting ready for the Falcons game coming up on Sunday against the Steelers. We'll get back into some more college football conversation at 12:20 as well. I know there's some big-time ranked matchups, only a couple.
Right.
There's some other really fun games on Saturday as well we'll get into, and some of the other storylines. And then the back page with Bo coming up at 12:40.
Well, I mean, you get this – You get to, I'm talking about the game tomorrow night, and we'll talk more about it tomorrow. It's, you know, it was one of those things where you're playing this game, you always got to worry about every good thing that goes on outside of the actual play on the field with the long halftime, long pregame, everything like that. I think that's pretty the point. They just tried to shorten it down as much as possible to get to the game so you don't have to be sitting in the damn locker room. I think we played Steelers when they won. It seemed like we was in the locker room for 45-minute halftime show. He's like, Doc, can we just get back out here and get – so they've done a better job of kind of, you know, shrink that time period down from once you leave the field to get back on it.
Who was the performer? Do you remember?
Oh, God, I can't remember.
Could be anybody.
It was somebody good, though.
Okay.
It was somebody good because I think some of the dudes are trying to get out there and see. I do kind of remember that.
This is 2005?
Yeah, I think
probably?
Yeah, I can't remember.
The year after they beat the Seahawks in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I can't remember who it was, but it was somebody.
Who was hot in 2005?
Dudes are trying to get out there to see it.
Destiny's Child or something like that?
I do remember that, but oh, God, who was it? I think Lindo, the kickers, them were like, they were.
Oh, the kickers can always go.
I think the kickers saw it.
They can go.
I just can't remember who exactly it was. But yeah, it was a fun time though.
Sure,
fun until the second half started.
Yeah,
and then they beat the hell out of us.
We got to do the year after the Seahawks won the Super Bowl. Obviously, you host the opening game. They played the Packers, I think it was, and just that whole day, it's just a celebration.
Right.
Like everybody's off work, coming down to the stadium. The whole area around the place was crazy. And it's also one of those things in sports as a fan where you're guaranteed a great moment because they're going to unfurl the banner.
Yes,
like you're going to see the banner.
Right.
They drop it down and everybody gets to see it. And you hadn't seen it before. I guess it's been up there, but they pull down the curtain and then show the banner. And that's just a crazy moment.
Yeah.
Like everybody goes nuts.
Dude.
So you get that. They're used to that. They've had three of those.
As big a Seahawks fan as you were and everything like that, you love this team. You grew up with this team. I think one of the coolest things is the 12-man flag.
It's pretty cool.
Would you do that?
Sure.
Yes, as afraid of heights as you are.
Oh,
it's up there.
Yeah, but you're standing there on. Yeah, you're right. That's
it's
true.
Up there because every time they show that camera angle of them putting that flame, I'm like, damn.
Yeah, I would do it.
You do it.
They'd be scraping the bottom of the barrel. You got real deal celebs doing that.
Right.
You know, like if you're a Seattle, like they got Ken Griffey Jr.'s doing it.
The fan of the day. The fan of the day, he won a raffle, Andy Bunker.
Yeah, that'd be more likely.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. Or like, I just want you and me to drive in the Golden Spike. That's what I want.
Oh, yeah, and we're still working on it. We're still working on it.
Speaking of the Golden Spike.
Yeah, there's been a change over there.
Yeah, they got Carlos Bocanegra out of there. I know people have been wanting that for a while.
Yes.
Makes sense. Team hadn't been good. He's responsible for putting the players on the field.
Yep.
Seems like you should probably replace him.
Yeah, man.
So now, more than likely, and I'm not trying to usher Rob Valentino out of town, but he was the interim manager and they haven't played all that great, so he's probably not going to be the manager going forward. So Garth Lagerwey's got to replace a manager and a technical director this offseason.
Yes.
Maybe that's a one-man show. I don't know. Some people do that.
We were talking about it before the show. I was like, does this mean Garth Lagerwey takes over all the pretty much – I mean, of course he's going to have guys delegating all those things, but does he handle all that stuff? Because I remember when Carlos Moore, the business side earlier on, right?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
It just sounded good.
He was the general manager, and he was getting the guys, and the team hadn't been good, and they fired like five managers. And then they finally got him today.
Yeah.
So, it'll be a new day.
It'll be a new day. Mike, I know Mike Conte, I think him and Jason are doing like a Facebook thing to talk about it this afternoon.
It's a good idea.
And
those are the guys you want to listen to.
Big move.
We were just telling you the news that Carlos Bocanegra is out at Atlanta United. All right, let's get to an NFL no huddle.
We're going no huddle.
With the midday show, no huddle.
The best the NFL has to offer.
Let's go now, let's go! Set!
All right, so we're like 20, I don't know, 33 hours away from the NFL season kicking off. Ravens and Chiefs tomorrow night right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Some last-minute contracts getting done. Broncos' Pat Surtain gets 4-year, $96 million contract extension, $77.5 million guaranteed, highest-paid defensive back in NFL history.
I'm so happy for this young man. You know, first of all, he's well-deserved because he's a hell of a football player.
He's very
But he goes about his business. You don't hear a lot about him. Nope. Little Pat, he goes about his business, and he has become one of the premier players at his position. I'm so happy for him and Pops and Michelle and them raised a fine young man. They raised a fine young man, and it was one of those things where when I saw it this morning, I was like, I kind of figured it was going to happen.
Yeah.
But you didn't hear nothing about it. You didn't hear nothing about like the same thing with AJ Terrell's
pretty much.
You didn't hear too much about it and anything like that. And then if it comes out, the number's so big. I know, boy up there in New York City, like.
Oh, yeah. Sauce is loving
Sauce
it.
Is like, yeah.
Sauce is like, great. Yeah, just keep signing
just
these big contracts.
Just keep signing the big contracts. Yeah, congratulations.
Because he's up for it next offseason.
Yes, congratulations, Lil Pat, man. Well deserved.
No doubt.
Well deserved.
Falcons signed Nathan Peterman, like we talked about. We did actually talk about that earlier. And we were very serious about it and very complimentary. They freed up a little bit of salary cap space this morning, though, by moving some of Jesse Bates' money around. They weren't quite compliant on the cap until this.
Right.
So now they're under, which is good because you got to be under before the game. They're about 7 under. They do have a roster spot after trading Taylor Heinicke last week. So my guess is they play this week with that roster spot available. They see what it looks like. Maybe somebody gets injured, whatever. And then maybe you sign somebody after week 1 because it's a non-guaranteed deal. Really the most important news I saw today, though, out of Flowery Branch.
Yeah.
Is that Kyle Pitts is limited in practice today with the hamstring. I don't like that.
No, I do not like that at all. Limited hamstring with fast guys, you don't like that. But it could be something precautionary. I don't think it's going to be something to hold him out Sunday, but how much will it be a problem on Sunday? You know, will it be, can he open up? That was one thing we talked about last year a lot of times. Okay, he just couldn't open up with that leg and coming back from and everything. So let's just hope it's just precautionary, nothing that, you know, you feel like, okay, if he and this is a lot for like a player's mentality. If I push it, what will happen? And yeah, I hope he doesn't go into Sunday with that feeling.
Yeah.
So if you got to limit him, limit him.
Limit him.
Limit him.
That doesn't mean he's not doing anything,
yeah.
Right?
He's out there.
He's limited.
He's out there.
He's not out.
Limited. Yes, he's limited.
Limited.
Yeah.
Limited. Not great.
No.
But it'll be fine. I'm sure everything will be all right.
I don't like it.
I don't like that at all. The Texans are bringing back Davis Mills.
Hey.
1 year, $5 million deal to back up CJ Stroud.
Good for him.
Not a bad life.
No.
I mean, Davis Mills is a pretty solid quarterback. Be a backup quarterback. Obviously, CJ's the future down there.
Yeah.
Yeah, he likes Houston.
Yeah, good for them, man. Good for him getting them signed and everything. I think that, you know, he's a very good – he's a good enough quarterback. If nothing happens, God forbid, nothing happens to CJ, you get in a pinch. He's the guy that started some games for you and everything.
He was a starter a couple of years ago.
You drafted him. You watched him develop. You just brought in a guy that was better than him.
Plus, and he's from here.
Yeah, he's from Atlanta. And so good for him, man.
Greater Atlanta Christian.
It's over my house.
Yeah.
Up there by my house. But I mean, you don't hear a lot of times quarterbacks get extensions, backups.
Backups.
$5 million.
It's a new day,
$5 million,
man.
$5 million, though?
It's a new good day with him, that quarterback position.
$5 million, good for him.
Teams are very serious about that backup spot, as well they should be, with the amount of quarterback injuries that have taken place.
Remember the quarterback play last year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the guys that played?
Yes. Cutlets. A guy named Cutlets was playing.
Yeah. It was. Remember that?
Cutlets.
He had a moment.
Yes. Him and his damn agent with the green jacket.
Him and his agent, who's in the Italian-American Hall of Fame, somehow. Friday, there's a game as well. Mm-hmm. The Packers are in Brazil taking on the Eagles. That's a fun game, too.
Yes.
Like, what a great way to kick off the season. Ravens, Chiefs, just obviously heavyweights, probably the two best teams in the AFC. And then the Packers and the Eagles, both in sort of different places, but both expected to be pretty good this season.
Yeah.
That's how we start the year on Thursday and Friday.
Yeah, man. I saw the Devin White, the guy they brought, he was supposed to start in the middle. He's going to be out with an ankle, but now I read this morning, he got N'Kobe Dean beat him out for that starting linebacker position. And so the biggest thing with N'Kobe, he's got to stay healthy. He can play, but he's been banged up since he's been an Eagle. So hopefully he can stay healthy and solidify that position, because they had some issues right there. Talking about the middle of their defense last year with the Eagles. Another dog that's better, he got to step up to another level, is Jordan Davis.
Yeah.
I know Jalen Carter.
I have no doubt that Jalen Carter's probably going to be an all-pro this year.
No doubt. That other guy?
Jordan Davis has to play
better. He got to play better. Yep. Nolan Smith. It's time for them dogs to show up.
Yeah, that going all in on Georgia defensive guys hasn't really paid dividends yet. Now, part of it is injuries, and they're young and all that. But, yeah, those guys all have to play better this year. We talked about this with Arch. Got to mention it again because it's an amazing story. The Chargers list 296-pound defensive lineman Scott Matlock as their starting fullback.
Yes.
Now, I don't know exactly what that means, how much fullback he's going to play, but I hope it's a lot.
But that's the thing.
I hope that guy plays a lot of fullback.
Because if you look at Greg Roman, who is the offensive coordinator now and was over there in Baltimore when they took Big Boy at the defensive line, the same profile and makeup, and they made him a fullback and basically made him like Lamar Jackson's protector.
Yeah.
Yeah. Made him. Now, that's because Lamar ran a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Herbert ain't gonna run like that.
No, I never run like Lamar. Runs a little bit.
They're gonna run the hell out of the football up there.
Well, plus they also have Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins.
Yes.
They're just straight up Baltimore West.
Exactly. Exactly. All I want to see, just like when the big man from Baltimore, when he gets a touch.
Yeah.
When you just like.
Apparently, the guy Scott Matlock caught a couple touchdowns in college.
Right.
They would line him up in the backfield. He caught a couple touchdowns in college.
It's like, because usually a lot of times when they catch a ball, it's like a broken play, and Lamar's like, oh, there he is. Here go, big man, and he'll catch it, and you're like, oh yeah. Because you remember that game with the Dolphins when that offensive lineman picked up that ball?
Oh, you did like a front flip?
I'm all for big guys running.
Oh,
because he put it even more in my mind that we need more big dudes with the ball.
There's almost nothing better than a fat guy touchdown.
Dude.
Like, it's nothing, so good.
Nothing in life.
So good.
Nothing.
All right, we'll come back. We'll talk a little college football. We'll let you hear a little bit more from the Tennessee Tech head coach who doesn't want to play Georgia. That's who they play. So they play on Saturday at 2 o'clock if you have ESPN Plus or other various apps. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBob's.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a hump day. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Get into a couple of different college football conversations. Obviously, the piling on Clemson has begun. We'll let you hear from Booger McFarland in just a minute. Georgia's got Tennessee Tech this weekend, so good weekend if, you know, you got some stuff to do. Maybe it's a good weekend to do some stuff. We'll let you hear from their head coach.
I might be able to sit outside and watch the games. My wife won't let me ever sit out there.
Going to be good outside weather. Not that there's bad outside weather, but there's going to be cooler.
I can't, she don't, because I'm always in the game and screaming and cursing. I probably won't do it this weekend.
Yeah, like the level of cursing that goes into a – like the Clemson game. Yeah. Obviously, you're fired up for that game. It's week one. Clemson's still – they're ranked. Yes. All that. It was close at halftime. You're into it.
Yes.
You're loud probably.
Yes.
You're in the basement.
Yes.
Yeah. You can watch Tennessee – and again, it's not for me to say. But it feels like if there was ever going to be a game that you should be able to watch outside, it would probably be this one.
It might be this one.
You get the ESPN Plus in the backyard?
I get ESPN. We got you know, I got every channel known to damn man.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, I got that one. Real quick, some more of the NFL news bunk. Damar Hamlin. It's going to start for the Buffalo Bills this season.
Oh, great.
Great for him. And your guy, Bo Nix.
My guy.
Yeah, team captain. First Denver rookie to be named team captain since Floyd Little in 1967.
That's a long time ago.
That's a long damn time
that's
ago.
That's actually was Bo's freshman year in college. How long ago he was in there. I don't know. I'm happy for him. I know he was the quarterback at Oregon. Well, we beat him every single time we played him, so I can be happy for him. And your team beat him every time you played him, too.
I know.
He seems like a good guy.
He does.
He seems like, you know, I'm not glad that he made Oregon fans happy at times, but it's nice that he got to sort of resurrect his college career. He was a really highly rated recruit coming out of high school, and there's a lot of pressure going to a place like that where your dad's a legacy and all that, and obviously, the SEC is just a little bit of a different ballgame. I'm happy for Bo Nix.
I'm happy for Bo Nix.
I'm proud of him.
You're proud.
Yeah, they take on the Seahawks week one. I hope he gets smoked.
Oh, did you see the Seahawks are wearing our favorite uniform?
Oh, they are good.
Yeah,
the old silvers.
Yeah, they're wearing our favorite uniforms. But they got to wear. But the Broncos have to wear theirs too.
That would be great because that's an old AFC West rivalry.
I know.
Right,
the Broncos got to wear their old school.
Steve Atwater
with the blue helmet.
Steve Largent.
Yes, with the blue. Oh yeah. Now I mean, the Seahawks are going to bring theirs out. The Broncos got to wear.
That
theirs.
Would be awesome.
Oh yeah.
That,
oh, yeah.
I mean, great idea.
Yeah.
Speaking of that era of Broncos teams, Mark Slurish
is
going to join us in the 1 o'clock hour, 1:20. Wednesdays at 1:20 during football season, he's our Odyssey NFL insider. Mark Slurish is going to join us. So looking forward to that every single Wednesday. Certainly looking forward to that in an hour from right now. We'll get into the back page with Bo coming up at 12:40 as well. We are kind of filtering through some of these games on Saturday. Obviously, Texas and Michigan is the big one.
Mm-hmm.
Top 10 matchup.
Noon game.
Yeah, it's Fox's big noon kickoff, so they want that there. And it's not really going up against anything else at noon, so people are going to be watching that one. I think, for me, this is probably the first Saturday where the step back that Michigan is taking this year is going to be obvious.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't know if Texas is going to blow them out, but I think Texas is going to handle their business.
I think this is because of how good of players that Michigan has on defense. And they got elite players. They got maybe the best corner. I mean, I think Travis Hunter's the best, but he is no slouch. Is going to have to try to find a way to get some turnovers off of Quinn Ewers. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to try to find a way. I don't know who's the quarterback in Michigan.
Well, they got two kind of.
I know they got two, but I mean, you got two, you don't have one. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean that and it
one of the quarterbacks' last name's Orgy. Alex Orgy is the quarterback at Michigan. It's true.
Well, I knew I liked him. But, I mean, you know, they got to be able to run the football. They got one of the best running backs.
That's a case where if you have two, you do have one.
Yeah, exactly. They got the best, one of the best running backs in the country. Can they find a way to get him the ball? But, yeah, I mean, Texas, if Texas is who I think they are, Texas should go up there and win this game fairly handily.
I think so, too.
I think that should be the case with them.
Yeah, and it's just kind of natural what happens. Like, Michigan just has so much turnover. They're still going to be good. They'll probably still win 8 or 9 games or something this year, but you lost so much stuff and a new coaching staff and all that kind of stuff. Now, you mentioned Travis Hunter. They got a pretty big game on Saturday, too.
I was hoping we were going to get back there. Yeah, they got to go.
Let's do it.
They got to go to Lincoln.
Uh-huh.
They got to take on
Dylan Raiola in Nebraska.
Dylan Raiola, he looked really good in his first appearance. Just dropping dimes. I mean, just looked really, really good. I sense there's a kind of a little, but I think that's what damn near everybody who Colorado plays. It's like a little thing between the coaches or something, between Matt Rhule and Deion something like that. Or maybe it's
Remember, they beat him last year early.
Yeah, maybe
kind of start the whole Colorado hype train in September.
Maybe it's all on that side of Nebraska, whatever. But that's going to be a publicized game because Deion's coming. Raiola, like I said, he was really good in that first game they played. And we know how good Shedeur is.
Yeah.
You know,
those are two quarterbacks who, if everything sort of goes the way it's projected to go, are both first round draft picks.
Yeah. And so you want to know, can their offensive line protect them? Mm-hmm. And can their defense get stops? Mm-hmm. And are they going to go back to their second half? I'm talking about Colorado, of what they did in their first game as far as running some clock, possessing the football. And then, I mean, what does Travis Hunter do?
Yeah.
What does Travis
Hunter do? A lot. He's going to do a lot of stuff.
What does Travis Hunter do?
How do you follow up that performance?
How do you follow up that performance?
Pick six Dylan Raiola?
Yeah, something like that.
What are you doing? High step into the end zone, probably?
Like that. What does he do to, like, just continue this Heisman?
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because he continues like this. I don't give a damn what Carson Beck and nobody do. He's winning the Heisman.
Yeah, should. I mean, you got a two-way player, and if he's playing like this, just, you know, hopefully he stays healthy. Obviously, last year, the devastating injury took him off the field. He was playing like this last year, too.
Yeah, man.
Like, this is what this guy does, man. Travis Hunter's amazing. All right, let's hear Booger McFarland talking about what has happened at Clemson.
Recruiting class is not going to hit on every player. So the transfer portal allows you to go in, and if you need a wide receiver, if you need a safety, if you need some quarterback competition for Cade Klubnik to bring someone in, Dabo chooses not to. Therefore, you're going to have those lulls in the program. And I'm afraid right now they have a little bit of a lull. No explosiveness on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
Defensively, the front is good, but where's your guys on the second level, defenders, the linebackers, and the safeties? They struggled at Clemson to develop those guys for the last few years, and they're still struggling.
And it hurt. And you look at when Clemson was where they were. There was no portal. There were no NILs. But then he had Deshaun Watson, Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah,
he had.
I think
he had first round wide receivers.
Yeah,
he had first round defenders. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure there's some first rounds on this team.
I think they have first round defensive players on this team, probably.
But they had first round skill.
Yeah.
You know, they had elite players at elite positions.
They had some of the best quarterback play ever in college football with those two guys back to back.
And they just don't have that now.
And they had first-round wide receiver playmakers, guys that were really hard to stop. But those guys also looked even better because they had those guys throwing them the football.
Exactly.
Like, if they had Trevor Lawrence right now, like year three Trevor Lawrence, even like freshman year he won a national championship. But if they had mid-career Clemson Trevor Lawrence right now, no one would be talking about the transfer portal because they'd be really, really good.
Yes.
Now, they're pretty good, but they'd be really – now, they probably still wouldn't have beat Georgia on Saturday, but they'd be a favorite to win the ACC. They don't. They haven't replaced him. DJU is not very good, and now he's been on his third team. Cade Klubnik is only okay, and he hasn't been able to replace – now, it's hard to replace guys like that when you've had generational quarterback play, but that's what they had for years.
Mm-hmm.
So –
And it wasn't a lull between it. One left and the other one was on the roster.
Exactly. Exactly. There was no dip, which accounts for the six straight years of college football playoff
performance. Who was the quarterback, Andy? Was it Kelly something?
Kelly Bryant. Is that his name?
Remember that?
Yes.
It was like a four-game rule or something.
I do.
And then Trevor became the starting quarterback. And I was like, duh.
I think he won him a big game, though, didn't he? And then there was another guy named Chase Bryce who started a game or came into a game because somebody got hurt.
I think
they came back
game.
And won that pit game.
Yeah.
He went to App State afterwards and was really good at quarterback. But, that's what it was. They had those guys. So everyone wants to glom onto one part of it being the reason why. It's a lot of different parts of it. It doesn't look, we talked about this yesterday. It doesn't look good when you're being stubborn about something that every other elite program is using as a tool to build their rosters.
And say that again. using it as a tool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's not the only. Now, some schools are overusing it.
Yes.
And maybe it'll work for them. It hasn't yet.
Colorado, all those schools.
Yeah.
Kirby goes and gets what he needs. And what he does between that, other teams look at it as from a standpoint where we got to get all these players to get here. Like, George is there. But you go ahead and you add these two there, and you stay on top. Kirby recruits like a you know what, all right? He grinds like I don't even want to use the word I was going to use, but he gets after it in recruiting, and he puts the burden on his coaches to get after it in recruiting. But yeah, when you got these guys where you're like, okay, you know what, this kid Humphreys, remember that play he had against us? He goes to Vanderbilt. Somebody put a bug in his ear to come to Georgia.
Yeah, he had a nice game.
Yeah, nice game.
He was pretty productive there in the SEC. Not a very good roster.
Look good playing with all our guys.
Yeah, let's put him around better talent. See what it looks like. Oh, touchdown week one.
Oh, we need a big outside receiver.
Yeah. Rosemary Jack Saint's leaving. He's going to the NFL. Oh, let's go get this guy from Miami.
How about that?
Plug him in. See how that looks. Oh, our running back room's not quite been as dynamic as we've wanted it to be for a few years.
Let's go get a guy that gave us issues.
Right.
At Florida, the only guy that gave us issues.
Which isn't an entire philosophy.
Right.
It's just a tool in the tool belt to try to fill stuff out here and there. And they've done it well. They've done it on defense here and there with guys in the secondary. There's been pass catchers in years past. I mean, Dominic Lovett, who's still, I mean, he's been here for a couple years now, but he was a transfer.
Yes.
So they filled out the roster with guys from other schools, but they're not building the roster or building the foundation of the roster that way. They're still building the foundation of the roster through recruiting. Now, again, like, I know Clemson probably thinks about it like this because they were there. Are you sort of stacking yourself up against Georgia and the way that they do it? Probably not. It's probably not reasonable to be doing that. But if there was a couple guys here and there on that Clemson team with what they already have, they'd certainly be better.
Yeah.
They'd be a better team.
Yeah.
Now, there's some teams that just aren't going to be able to recruit at the level of no one recruits at the level of Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State. So if you're on that next level down, you can use the transfer portal and hit sometimes and have a great year.
Yeah.
That's what Washington did last year.
Yes, they did.
Most of those guys were transfers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the downside of that is guys probably transfer out too. And then you got to do it over and over again. It's not a sustainable model.
No, it's not.
It can hit and it can work if you get it right.
But sustainable.
What George is doing is sustainable.
Exactly. Your foundation is built off of your guys. Your guys. Your guys that you recruit, you develop, you have them buy in. I always say this about NFL teams. Any team that is really good, they always sound alike. When you hear them in the media, when you talk to about phrases that the coach says, they always, you know, they always say it. It's a mantra that everybody talking about. What was last week? Kicking in the front door. That's all I heard them say. We're going to go through the front door. We're going to kick this front door when we play Clemson. Well, that was something Kirby said, but that wasn't something he said on Saturday before he talked to the team. That was the message that he had put in their heads on Monday, and you heard the players saying, we're going to go through the front door. We're going to kick down the door, all those different things. The best teams have that, and it's a consistent thing that goes on and on and on.
Yeah. Again, I just don't understand – In life, in general, not like Carl and Mike were talking about it yesterday. It was a great point. Like, if our bosses came to us with something that we could add that everyone else is using that could make us better,
why not do it?
Why would we do it? It's like, yeah, okay, we'll try that out. Sure, that seems like a good idea. I just don't like actively not using something that everyone else is using to try to get a little bit better for the sake of stubbornness.
And it's so stubborn.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because it is.
Yeah, it is.
And it's just funny because I like Dabo. So I think he's a hell of a football coach. But that's my thing about it is like, I can do it my way. And I'd rather lose my way. I'd rather lose my way than try to do something to benefit us, even though it might look like I gave in or something.
And I do, just as an outsider, I love, like, stubborn competitiveness or competitive stubbornness.
Mm-hmm.
It's dumb.
Yeah.
Like, it is. But I love watching people do it. It's like tin cup, you know, give me another ball.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, go for it. Probably not a good idea, but go for it. But I don't want to work with people like that. Like, I don't want to be around people like that. I just want to watch people like that.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right.
And it's funny.
You give it a shot.
And it's funny.
See if it works out for you.
It is funny.
All right, we'll come back. We'll get to the back page with Bo after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a hump day. 20 minutes away from getting back into the big story of the day. Handful of different things to touch on. Braves win last night. Chris Sale, 200th strikeout of the year. First left-handed pitcher in Braves history to get 200 strikeouts.
Say that one more time.
One keyword.
What's the keyword, Andy?
Left-handed.
Left-handed, my man.
Yeah, other right.
Yes, we know there's other ones.
Hey. He's lefty.
One more time, Andy.
He's left-handed.
Left-handed
first
Braves
left-handed pitcher.
Pitcher
to get to 200.
Oh, my God.
Which is awesome because there's been a lot of really good left-handed pitchers in Braves history.
Goodness gracious.
And Chris Sale's the first one to do it last night.
What? Hold on. He's the what? He's the what?
We'll get Mark Schlereth in here at 120 as well. He's our Odyssey NFL insider.
He's the what?
He's the first left-handed pitcher.
Left.
Or the well, you know, Randy, people after you.
Left.
It was a guy.
Left.
We'll also do an AMA an hour from right now as well. Any question, any topic. You know the number, 404-726-0929. You can ask us anything you'd like to. We'll get to the
Crazy.
Back page with
Andy, because we NFL season starting. And I was saw something. Well, Hassan Reddick's not playing this week.
Yeah, they haven't figured that one out yet.
They haven't figured that one out yet. And Ja'Marr Chase, they don't do a contract today. I don't think he can't play. He's not going to play.
Why would he? He hasn't done anything else.
Nothing else. I'm like, okay.
Unless he just does the Ayuk, and he's like, all right, never mind. We're good.
Brandon got his money.
Ayuk did get money.
I saw where he had a little. I'm kind of sorry that I made it this difficult. When I just took the money back then, the same contract, they kind of structured it a little different.
Yeah.
But
well, at least he didn't have to do training camp.
Exactly. You got out of training camp and still got your pay. And still got your paper.
Uh-huh.
And didn't get fined.
Right, because he held in.
Yes,
he held in. And Ja'Marr Chase is mostly held in.
He's holding in.
But he was one day he didn't, and then he was late, so they probably fined him for being late.
Yeah, they fined him for being late.
Trent Williams didn't hold in. He held out.
Yeah,
Trent $5 million worth of holdouts.
But then they restructured it so it can cut it in half this year. I mean, just.
Oh, you can restructure the fine?
Yeah, man.
Huh.
Yeah, they just tried to do did that. And so,
what do you know about that?
I love it. I love it, Andy. But it's just funny because, like, yeah, Ja'Marr ain't coming in with no money.
Yeah, they play the Patriots, so they'll probably be okay.
That's true.
Yeah.
And then it's crazy because they're probably going to win the game. T. Higgins is going to go for, like, 15 catches for 300.
Ooh, that's a little fantasy.
We don't need Ja'Marr. So, whatever.
You won't need him to beat the Patriots. I think you'll be okay against the Patriots. You're probably going to want him for the remainder of the schedule. It'd be nice to have Ja'Marr Chase. He's one of the three best wide receivers in the NFL. But yeah, that's something to think about as you kind of look who's playing, who's not. I know Kyle Pitts has a hamstring. He was limited in practice today. Now, according to people up there in Flowery Branch that talked to Raheem, sounded like they weren't super concerned about it.
That's all
they
didn't know.
Yeah, Raheem was like, yeah, he was limited in practice today. I don't know that he said anything definitively about his availability for Sunday. There's no reason to do that on Wednesday, but didn't sound like it's something that they're concerned about for Sunday.
All right,
so good.
But if he ain't concerned,
but maybe that's another little thing to think about.
Yeah, I mean,
Bijan owners.
I mean,
like me and Bo.
Well, how would you know that? What? Because I'm sorry. How do we get more information about that? Is who to start and who to sit this week, Andy?
Exactly. Well, you listen to Bo's radio show.
There we go.
You listen to
one dude
with a fantasy.
Toss one to my boy.
Yeah. Tune in for all your.
What time is it?
7 a.m.
on Sunday.
Saturday.
Okay, 7 a.m. on Saturday.
Throw one to my boy over there.
There it is. Let's throw another one to him. Let's get to the back page with Bo.
Bringing you the stories that didn't make the cut anywhere else in the show. It's the back page with Bo Johnson on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Every day at this time. Hello, Bo.
Something about having great chemistry. Y'all actually teed me up on two different stories just now, so I'm going to start with the left-handed thing.
Okay.
So, we're witnessing history, in case you haven't looked behind the MLB numbers this season. So, as of last night, Chris Sale did take the National League lead in strikeouts. He now has 206. He also leads the National League in wins with his 16th, and ERA, 2.46, allowed nothing in seven innings last night, so that helped a little bit. Over in the American League, Tarik Skubal also has 16 wins. His ERA of 2.51 leads the American League. Or Tarik. And
I like Tarik.
He leads the American League in strikeouts with 201.
Okay.
There has never been a set of left-handers to win the Triple Crown in both the American League and the National League in the same season.
That's very interesting.
Huh. Well, I'm sure Randy Johnson's done it.
There have been two lefties that have won Cy Youngs.
Yeah.
But there's never been two lefties to win Triple Crown ever.
Interesting.
Nice.
Johnson was pitching, there was just garbage in the National League.
Or when he was in the National League, maybe it was a righty that wasn't doing it. Because when he was at his peak in the National League with Arizona, that timed up with Pedro in Boston.
Pedro!
Who's right-handed. Who's your favorite lefty of all time?
Randy Johnson.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Just in life?
Oh, I think we're baseball.
No, just in life. Oh, in life? Favorite left-handed person in life.
Oh, man.
I don't really think. I'm trying to rack my brain, make sure I don't have any family members that are left-handed.
Me too.
My brother Michael's kind of left-handed.
All my kids are right-handed.
My brother Mike throws lefty, but writes right-handed. Yeah, uh-huh. He's confused.
That's all I think of. I'm like, all my kids are right-handed.
Okay.
Because Ricky Henderson was a pretty cool left-handed thrower.
Threw left, batted right. Like Freddie Freeman throws left.
That way right there.
So he's not lefty, is he? I think in order to be left-handed, you have to write left-handed.
I agree with that. I don't know. Who's yours?
Michael Penix. My favorite lefty of all time. Or Brock Heward. I used to work with Brock Heward. I really like him a lot.
Solid.
But left-handed people are always like, you can almost, when you find out they're left-handed, it's like, oh yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
They're a little bit different thinking. Really? Not in a bad way. They're just like a little bit more, I don't know, like kind of creative out there.
I never ever thought about that.
You got to think about it.
I'm going to start thinking of it.
You got to think about it. That's because you're not left-handed.
Yeah. But neither are you.
I know. But I think like a lefty, though.
How do left-handers need to pronounce themselves? I bet we all have favorite left-handed people, and we had no idea they were left-handed. I've never stared at you writing, maybe.
Did you ever have to try to use the left-handed scissors in elementary school?
Yes.
Almost impossible.
Yes.
Yeah. You got to use them with two hands.
Yep.
Speaking of Jamar Chase and T. Higgins, T. Higgins will absolutely be a great start, not only this weekend, but I can see T. Higgins in fantasy football being a great start for the foreseeable future. And look, I'm not wishing anything upon this young man being Jamar Chase. Look, man, he hasn't practiced one down in the preseason outside of just working out on his own. And we all know that knows what happens when you try to ramp up to NFL speed.
Yep, man.
That's why they give him 3 weeks to a month.
Yep.
And he's going to try to do it in a week, if he even plays this week, but next week too. Not going to be surprised if Jamar comes down with a little hamstring injury or something like that to start the season.
Yeah, so hopefully not.
T. Higgins, a great play this entire season. Speaking of Jamar Chase, I read a story
yesterday.
They have
the Chiefs week two. Yeah. So they're going to probably want him back
for that. They're probably going to want him back.
Jamar does work to the Chiefs.
Yeah.
I read a story yesterday about Jamar Chase. You know, he was drafted to the Bengals 1 year after Joe Burrow. So when he got to Cincinnati, Joe Burrow was already living in a certain neighborhood. Well, Jamar and Joe are pretty good friends. Jamar wanted to live in the same neighborhood as Joe. So what Jamar did when he got to town, he literally went knocking door to door, starting with Joe Burrow's house, and moved outwards. Knocked on the door, introduced himself, hey, I'm Jamar Chase, and I have a bunch of money, and I want to buy a house in the same neighborhood as Cincinnati Bengals quarterback Joe Burrow. He did this enough times until he finally met a couple that would sell him their house. And that is how Jamar Chase and Joe Burrow live in the same neighborhood in Cincinnati.
That's
a cool story.
That is very weird.
It is very weird.
Yeah, why do you want to live close to him so bad?
I'm a millionaire, and I want to live in this neighborhood.
Is there only one cool neighborhood in Cincinnati?
Well, probably. He wanted to live in the same one Joe Burrow lives in.
I know, yeah, but like...
Probably.
Okay.
And I doubt you can get your boy to be like, hey, you want to move?
But that's one of them things where, you know... There's smart investments, and then there's just dumbass investments. That was a dumbass investment. You don't know that about that house or anything.
Right. Well, I'm sure
they probably gassed the price up a little bit. How bad do you want to live close to Joe?
Up on it.
Plus, also, it was probably pretty expensive anyway, because I imagine Joe Burrow lives in a nice neighborhood.
That's
going canvassing to try to buy a house is wild.
That's some serious bromancing going on.
Yeah,
you ever get those text messages? I don't know if they're from real realtors or whatever, but they're like, hey, we're
all the time
trying to buy houses. You interested in getting an appraisal? I just always send them back nonsense.
Mm. Nah.
You don't?
I just send them back. Stop.
Oh. I was like, yeah, but my starting price is this.
Yeah.
Like, and then they don't respond.
If you come in for me, I'm going to make you pay the Z.
I'll gladly pay you. You can buy my house for $1 million tomorrow.
Yeah.
Sure, if you want. That sounds great.
So has Todd Bowles become the curmudgeon-y old get-off-my-lawn coach in the NFL?
He's probably up there.
Some people just never want to change something. I don't know if this had something to do with Todd Bowles actually playing for the Washington football team, whatever they're going to call themselves, but he just refuses to acknowledge them.
I think if you find yourself just facing a rookie quarterback, the other 10 guys are going to kill you.
So this weekend.
We're facing the Redskins. We're not facing Jaden Daniels. They got 10 other guys that we got to worry about as well. So we don't look at it as facing a rookie quarterback. We're trying to beat the Redskins.
I don't think it was because of that.
It's just happened.
It just happened.
Yeah. I think
still, yeah,
I think
it's just, but every time I talk about the Chargers, they're from San Diego.
I think it's probably more happened.
Every time I talk about the Cleveland baseball team, they're the Indians. Every time I think I've done better with the Redskins because I kind of liked Washington football team.
Yeah,
but I don't like Commanders.
Yeah, you did like
Commanders is not good. So yeah, it's hard, man. Old habits die hard.
It's been years though. I mean, not a whole lot of years, but couple of years.
Oh, but Todd Bowles been in the NFL for a long time. And he played for the Redskins. Yeah. So
I don't know. I was just thinking maybe he just likes the old name better.
Who is the oldest curmudgeon-y NFL person left because Bill Belichick retired?
Oh.
Because he was the king of the hill.
He was. Wow.
And Vrabel's not in there. He's not old, but he was a real he kind of a crotchety young man.
Maybe it is Todd.
Todd Bowles?
Maybe.
That's not bad.
Mike McCarthy?
Yeah. He's just beaten down. He's just beaten down by being in Dallas.
John Harbaugh?
No. Nah. He seems too nice.
Yeah, he does.
Jim Harbaugh's not like, get off my lawn. He's just weird.
Sean Payton?
Jim Harbaugh's like, come get on my lawn, but take your shoes off.
Sean Payton.
He's becoming that.
Sean Payton's a good answer.
Next question.
Yeah. And he's got that little sour pucker face, too.
Sean Payton.
Looks like he just ate like a Warhead or something like that. You remember those candies?
Oh, I love Warheads. Sean Payton and Sean McVay. Not Sean McVay, but Sean McDermott.
Okay.
Yeah, he has a little.
I'll go with Sean Payton. I like Sean Payton's a good answer. Very good answer.
So the U.S. Tennis Open is going on right now. And Arina Sabalenka won her quarterfinal match yesterday. Just in case you didn't know. She will now face Emma Navarro, who is an American, in the next round. So ESPN's Pam Shriver caught up with Arina after her match yesterday, asking her what she could do to get the Americans on her side. I'll tell you what, you better be careful what you wish for.
Drinks on me tonight?
Oh.
Wait, drinks on you? Is that what you said? For everybody?
Good enough for me.
Drink on me and please give me some support in the next match.
Now, this is in New York.
Okay.
You better be lucky that you're not down south anywhere, but they like to drink up there, so you better be careful.
Where's she from?
Some Eastern Bloc country.
Yeah, because I'm hearing the accent.
Like, they can drink there. They like vodka.
She might not know what she's saying. Drink some. Because she didn't – when people say drink some, you usually mean thinking alcohol, right? Maybe she's thinking of Capri Suns or something.
Nah, she's from the vodka
country.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Maybe she's thinking vodka.
Yeah, I'm like, drink
some. I'll tell you this. I'll root for her. For free drinks. No offense to Emma Navarro, but that's the first I ever heard of her.
I ain't never heard of her either. So I'm like, drinks on her?
If I'm free drinks for the Russian girl, I'm rooting for the Russian girl.
Sponsored by vodka?
Svedka or something like that? Smirnoff?
Yeah, I don't know. And she's sponsored by somebody, but good for her, man. Drinks are on her.
So just like the whole stadium? Because that U.S. Open stadium's pretty big.
Like, how would they get her credit card? How would they get to her?
That's a great question.
You know what I mean? Because,
I don't know.
I mean, not like you're waiting around. Like, how I saw a funny way, like, can we please stop waiting around for the guy to eat the poop? Can we?
I don't think he's going to do it.
I don't think he's going to do it. And good for him for not doing it.
She's Belarusian, so I'm not sure if they make vodka in Belarus or not.
Belarusian.
Yeah.
Belarus.
That just sounds nice.
Make vodka everywhere these days, though.
Where's she from?
Belarus.
I was like saying that. Belarus.
I guess there's a lot of alcoholism in Belarus.
Oh, well, there you go. That explains it.
Highest rate of alcoholism.
Where?
Belarus is one of them.
Really? Because
I tried to look up Belarus alcohol
because
I wanted to know what they drink over there.
And you got Belarus
but
alcoholism.
It autofilled the alcoholism.
What the hell do they do over there?
Drink.
What else is there? What else is there to do?
You know, go outside.
Play tennis, evidently.
Tennis for women, obviously. The most popular Belarusian liquor is vodka, followed by Giralta and burnt wine. Burnt wine sounds gross.
Sound nasty.
I like wine, but it'd just be better if you just would burn it first. Just put it on the stove for about 45 minutes.
I'm not sure because it's vodka.
Yeah, she likes vodka. Who doesn't? We'll be right back. We'll get to the big story of the day to kick off the 1 o'clock hour. Thanks for being with us. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.